Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, they are ordained for concentrating on God. What affects the potency of your prayer before God is the amount of sufferings you have been willing or indeed have taken for his sake. Let me explain something. This is a very simple way to explain it. I remember something happened once when I was in university. Now, I was a small chap, size-wise, when I entered campus. I was still small. You know, over the years, I have increased. What men did to me then, they won't try it now. I'm serious. Once I went to Lagos, I went to see one sister in GTV. So then, you're describing, okay, from there, I drew some money. I was supposed to go and do some things. You're not saying that I have to be careful. So I said, okay, how do I go? And I didn't have my own car or anything. I had to take public transport. Now I said, okay, I'll take a taxi. He said, but taxis can be dangerous. So some of these taxis are thieves, you know, that kind of thing. She now made a decision. He said, he said, no, not you. He said, anybody who looks at you will change his mind about stealing from you. But it wasn't always like that. One day, somebody, and look, because of that, I used to plot wickedness in my mind. No, I'm very serious. If you know the kind of plots I have for certain people, all right? I was just planning to make their lives miserable. Because my reason was that I felt that you have oppressed me because I'm small. If I remember once we were writing our final exam, secondary school, WASC, we used this large hall. Then one of my classmates, because I was generally small in size in my class then, smaller than virtually everybody. I was just one pink chomic fellow like this, like my chief would say. So the guy did something, took a pen from my hand, and I think beat me on top of it. I felt this was pure oppression. So I said, I'll go show this guy paper. We're classmates too. So we all sat down for exam. I came out from the hall. We used one very big hall for the WASC. I left the hall through a side door and went. I came back in through the back. Made sure I was facing his back. I inched up to his. Just gently inched up to behind the guy. I still remember very well, as God lives, that was what I did. I blew on my hand. Raised it high, put all the energy I had on it, on the guy's back. I didn't stop to see what happened. All I know is that, you know, he wasn't bracing himself for the impact. I hit him as hard as I could, turned around, and disappeared. Do you know, that guy and I never saw till today. Till today that you and I are talking. We didn't see each other again. How did you manage? Wait. Of course, I kept on running. I didn't look back. I ran. After I had run and I couldn't hear anything behind me, I slowed down, looked. There was nobody. I stood somewhere. When the exam had started, the exam was supposed to be, let's say, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, I started going back to the hall. So I went back to my seat. Exam was going on. You won't come beat me with examiner. It's not possible. And believe me, I was a sharp guy. If the exam was supposed to be 9 to 12, 11:30, I finished, submitted my scripts, and disappeared. I did that till the exam ended. After that, I went home. It was final. We never saw each other again. That kind of weekend. I entered university. One guy did something to me, something similar to that. His own was even more wicked. I remember what I plotted. I said, this guy is in trouble. You're taller than me, no wahala. You're stronger than me, not transport. I'm going to steal your calculator, your physics note. I didn't need them. My plot was to flush them down the toilet. You will never find it on me. My plan was I'll take the calculator. We had a reservoir, a big underground water reservoir. I'll just go and throw inside the reservoir. Take his physics note, those fat notes, shred it, flush it down the toilet. You will keep looking for it. We're in the same room. I knew my strategies that that is the kind of wickedness where I go to this guy. And the plan was that he would never know I did it. And that was going to be the joy. That I would see him suffer day and night. First his calculator, then his notes. Two precious things to him. Now, what am I talking about? Sufferings of Christ. I had plotted it. And I remember I was so pained by what he did, all right, that I told his friend, also a classmate. And I said, you know, I'm not going to forgive your friend. And that one laughed. That was to make it worse. Like, you won't forgive me. What are you going to do? That's why those days, some boys used to join Confra on campus, just to pay some people back. I said, you go see. In my mind, you go see. You go see. Just watch. Then that evening or the following evening, somebody can't drag me go fellowship. And as I was heading for that fellowship, I need this whole thing don't spoil. That's where I'm going with all the whole story. You know, I got to the fellowship that day as they were preaching. All I was hearing was forgiveness. I said, no, God, I'm not forgiving this guy. I'm forgiving nobody. That is, I'm not planning to forgive him. You can't persuade me to forgive him. All through the preaching that day, by the time we left the place, I still wasn't forgiving him. But by the time I was reaching hostel, the boy's name was Cyprian. I knew when the Lord won, and the Lord and I didn't talk for a few days because of that thing. Because this was not fair. How can you stand there and allow this guy to oppress me, and you say I shouldn't, and you have given me the wisdom to pay him back. Now you are telling me not to use the wisdom with which I'm supposed to pay this guy back. Believe me, it was very painful. It was very painful. But finally, finally I yielded. I didn't tell him I forgive him because I didn't tell him I was angry with him. That was the issue. But in my mind, I forgave him and I let him go. And I think God now punished him by himself. I don't want to give you the story, but I think that there was a way God punished him and delivered me from one kind of trouble. That I knew that, okay, it was the right thing I did. But the point is, look, it may sound funny that we're laughing about it, but then it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. Look, sometimes, you know, my wife, when she wants to take vengeance on some people, she doesn't want me to know, but she knows I have to know. Because she knows that one thing I do a lot of times is to just overrule. Wham! You ain't doing it. Look, listen, it can be very painful. I'm bringing out something. See, when we are talking about suffering, you know, and glory, cup. Now, I've used this one to just explain some simple, so we can get our minds to understand what the kind of thing that God does in our life. All right? He will come and demand that you make a decision in which you lose something very precious. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Maybe you have studied for years, you know, for this is the final thing. You're supposed to finish this and get one special degree and start pursuing a particular career in life. Oh, I have a very practical example. Maurice Cerullo. Maurice Cerullo was an orphan. Grew up in an orphanage. I've forgotten how his life went again. And finally, one day, he made up his mind what he was going to do. He was going to be a doctor, do this, help the poor, do this one. Then one day, God called him to ministry and he says, flat, I'm not going. It wasn't the kind of call that you're perceiving in your spirit that God is calling you. This was vision, revelation, and everything. And God said, this is what I wanted to do. And the guy said, clearly, I am not doing. I have plans. You want to mess it up. I am not doing. And as he turned to walk away, the place where he removed his foot from became transparent. And he looked down into the pit of hell and he saw men suffering. That was how God finally got his attention. Let me tell you something. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Most people called by God don't answer. You only hear stories of the people who answer partially. Look, listen, what I'm telling you, I believe it totally. Most people that God called, they don't answer. Most people, he said many are called, few are chosen. If you go and read it, when he says chosen, it means that after we call all of them, we start weighing them and they are found wanting. And very few satisfy the criteria we need to use them in the ministry that we want them to fulfill. This is another frightening one. Most who answer only answer partially. I'm serious. They obey partly, and then the rest of it, they forsake. I have read enough to know, at least for preachers. And let me tell you something, all right? What I say to one, I say to all. Most of these examples I give, they have to do with preaching, preachers, and all of that. But you know, they apply in every part of life. They apply to businessmen. They apply to housewives. They apply to scientists. They apply to teachers. They apply to politicians. They apply every sphere of life. It's the same principle. God calls a man into political office as an example. He makes crucial choices. All right? You know, that set him on a particular path to progress. And listen, that's how God does it. You first make the first choice. You first do the right things. You begin the work. Then along the line, to sustain the work and to increase the intensity of power, you start taking more dangerous steps. That's just the way it works. So the man, maybe, let's just put this as an example. As a young man, he did everything very well. One day God said, all right, good. we are doing this thing well. We'll appoint you a governor. Then he sees money and he goes mad. And I told you before, devil, he may be foolish in denying God and all of that, but he's not stupid. The devil does not tempt a righteous and holy man. All right? And say, okay, hey, you get one place, one strip club, we just open. They serve booze there and small, serious stone. If you smoke that one, your brain go colo, you know? Pastor, come. You will like it. The devil is not that stupid. He knows the agent you sent. He will deliver the devil out of the man you sent. He sent. So he doesn't try that. Do you get my point? I'm not trying to bring out something. The choices that God uses, all right, to lift us from one level to the other, they are actually subtle, and they are things we try in our hearts to easily justify, but we know they are not right. I don't know whether you get the point. In our hearts, we try and justify them, but we know that this thing is not correct. When you talk about conscience, that is when conscience steps in. You will not even, look, listen, there's one thing about it. If you want scripture, all right, to explain to you that you are right, you will find it. I told you the other day I had to make a simple choice. Either go to Calabar or go to Benin. I had all the stories to tell why I should go to Calabar. But I knew, Banky, let's go to Benin. Benin is the right place, all right, because of what I was going to do. I had a program to attend and all of that. So you know what I did? I took my phone and phoned a friend of mine who I knew would tell me to go to Benin. That let me explain. I knew what courage we say is, Banky, go to Benin. I knew that was what was the right thing to do. I needed encouragement to do it. So finally, I called him. I left him to the last one to call. I said, I know what this guy will say. As soon as I called him, he asked a few questions. He said, Banky, this is a ministry matter. I said, yes. He said, forget this one. Go Benin. I said, Archbishop, that's what I called him. I said, thank you. I knew that's what you're going to say. Because I needed somebody like you to say it. There is somebody who will be able to, he said, there are people who just say, go this way without telling you why. And you have a way to explain it, that I will take instructions from the counsel that he's given. That was why I called him. What am I going to explain? That deep inside me, really, I knew what to do. Let me tell you the truth. I've been trying to explain something about the will of God, you know, the higher will of God. Giving your life up for the higher will of God. Listen, in life, you will make choices which will cost you. Listen, Christianity, salvation is not free. It's not free. Following God will cost you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, it will cost you. There are times you will be amongst your peers and you look like something is wrong with you mentally. I know the interesting part. They will give you a door to come out and look more normal. And you will know in yourself that once I take that door, in fact, something has happened to me in the last few days. Everywhere I go, you know, ideas and opportunities are springing up to help me channel my life, all right, because well, don't let me discuss my issues publicly, all right, but then there are issues I have to make decisions on. The other day, a friend of mine, in fact, he called me this morning now, I said I'll return his call later. There's work we are doing together. I told him, after this work, I'm leaving you alone. I said, you have become a satanic temptation to my life. He's a Christian, and we're laughing about it. I said, for you, this is not satanic. It's not a temptation. It's a good work. But for me, all right? I said, no man does two major things in life and succeeds equally in them. I said, doesn't work. That I have to make up my mind what I really want to do and do properly. What is the one that has to do with the reason why I came to this hour? I have to make my choice. It might not look good, though, to people. Listen, there are people who will look at you, Christians, friends, relations, and they say that this guy is not wise. You will do things that people did in previous times and they ended up in poverty. And God will say, oh boy, that is the very thing I want you to do. And listen, oh God, if I make this statement, people will think that I'm preaching unbelief. It's not compulsory that you are rich in life. Listen, first get into your brain first. Otherwise, you can't work with God effectively. It's not compulsory. You won't lack, amen? But you may not have money to flaunt. And it's not a big deal. And God won't consider you a failure. I've told you, the way God chooses who's right, who's wrong, who's successful, who's a failure, who's rich and who's poor, is very different. Don't forget our church in Romans chapter 3. Is it Laodicea or which one of them now? We God looked at them and said, you say you are rich and you have need of nothing. Your church building is the finest. You guys tithe in tens of millions of naira now. Your pastor drives the flashiest car. You guys have private jets. He said, but you don't know that you are wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. That's my verdict. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. Let me tell you the truth. I told you before that, take the whole world and give me Jesus. That song was anointed by God. God inspired people to sing it. And if you will not sing it, you will never succeed as a Christian in walking with God. Better sing it first. No, I'm serious. I know what I'm saying. Because the problem we have had, believe me, no, God, please, I think it's okay if I say this. 90% of the message we preach in our churches on Sundays is nonsense. It's satanic. They are crazy. We have all gone mental, body of Christ. We have become mental. Something done to worry us. Most pastors are thieves. What I'm telling you is the truth. Let me tell you the truth. God has not given us the method to chase what the world is chasing. Paul said, I have been crucified to the world, and through this cross, the world has died to me. We are separate. I don't mind dying without having a house. That's what Paul was saying. I don't need to build houses to show that my God is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. My God is good. Whether I have a house, have shoes, or don't have anything, my God is good. That's why we do the kind of rubbish we do. Because we think we are trying to manipulate God to get what the world is chasing. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. If you cannot wake up and say, take the whole world and give me Jesus, you are hardly born again. And let me tell you the truth. Everybody at a point in time in your life, you will have to make a choice. In which whether you are singing the song as part of the chorus or you really mean it. There are people, your friends are going to America, they are going to UK. Alright? You, there are people here that will take visa to the Congo. The roads in the place where you will live will be 50 times worse than current day Lagos roads. And you must not complain. That's what it means to be a soldier of Christ. That's why you will be able to get to a place having suffered there. He said, it's the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. He said, it is time for the Son to be glorified. He said, God, should I save me from this hour? But he said, it's a time to be glorified. That is the pathway to glory. It was very painful. That's why Jesus looked at James and John. They want to sit on the left and on the right. Because they think it's Nigerian politics. That's what they are thinking. He said, are you ready to drink the cup I'm going to drink? That the people, look, let me tell you, all this one, kneeling down and praying morning till night, is good, it's not bad. But a time will come in your life, you will think, that is, you will just say, ah, Lord, but that is not right. That's it. Every plan, a whole party will scatter because you thought in your mind, that is not right. That a man will rise up one day and say, PDP will never produce another counselor, not talk about governor in this country. I have nothing against PDP, I'm just as an example, because they're the biggest political party right now in Nigeria. And God will say, is that what you said? Yes. Is that what you said? Elijah, is that what you said? He said, yes, sir. He said, fine, let's watch. Before you know what's happening, there's nothing called PDP anymore. But you know what Christians want to do? They want to go to church and pray to that level. But God said, no! You will campaign, spend all that you have, and they will deny you the post. And I will instruct you, don't go to court. You have all the papers. Do you get what? You have all the evidence to annul that election. You've seen it done in Anambra State. You've seen it done here. You've seen it done in so many places. You've seen it in River State. You've seen it in Ondo State. God will say, in your own case, don't. He said, Lord, all we need, I don't even need a smart lawyer. The evidence is so strong. Even a corrupt judge cannot spoil this thing. And God will say, don't. That is suffering. That is what? Suffering. Look, listen. This life, eh, God is indeed alive and well and is in charge. One brother came here that day, came to see me here. He came to buy materials and he just saw me in the office. And we're gisting. We gisted for almost an hour. And when he told his story, he's back in school now. Calls me once in a few months. Last time I heard from him, he came to town, so he wanted to get the address of Hidden Treasures from me properly. He said one day he was going to go to school. You know, he went to go and take forms and everything. Then he saw one of his friends, one of his village boys, campaigning to be counselor. So he told himself that why would this boy be our counselor? I'm better than him. That's how he entered into politics. He campaigned. He said one day he slept and he dreamt. And in his dream, the Lord gave him visions and ideas. I've told you the story before, you'll be coming for a while, on what to do to win the election. And the day of the election, he did exactly that. Cut a long story short, at the end of the day, they tried to rig him out, but he won the election. And he did well as a counselor. He got well paid, and he did good work for his people. He's a good man. And for information, he was not the typical Pentecostal that you and I know. He didn't even know about all this leading of the Spirit and all of those things. He just had a dream. Then next time, he was not a big boy now. He was going to become chairman. Now, he was very popular. Everybody liked him. Then one day he slept. He had another dream. And the Lord appeared in the dream and said, do all you can. You're not going to be chairman. So forget the idea. The guy woke up and said, that must be a bad dream. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. That's the story I told you before of a young man who people came to meet him and said they have found the real Dibia, the original Babalawo, no, the hypertech jazzman. Now let us go. So he looked at them and said, I'm a Christian. Are you crazy? I don't get time for jazzic activities. So they left. These are his cronies, his friends in the game. Then one day they came back and said, we have found your own side. We have, say you're a Christian, we have found a pastor who prays. Listen, listen, listen. I know a lot of pastors these days, this thing, a money making business, is their job, is what they used to earn. So you want to contest an election? In fact, let me tell you what the pastor did so that you know that this guy is really his messenger of Satan. So the man finally agreed. He wanted to be, now he said that dream was in his mind though. My God just looking from heaven. So he went to meet the pastor. So the pastor, he told the whole story. The pastor said, no problem. Let me add my own words to it. You have come to the right place. In Jesus' name, it shall be well. We cancel all failures, return them to sender. Holy Ghost, fire. The pastor said, however, he will first pay arrears of all his tithes since he became counselor. What I'm telling you is not a joke. Counselor, he will pay the arrears. Oh God, I love that pastor, my God. The real messenger of Satan. Do buffet this, my guy. So this is the only way forward. You know what he told me? He said, pastor, God used that man to collect all the money I had left. Yes, because he has spent money on the election. He said, the only money he had left, God now uses this funny pastor to collect it. God said, look, listen, you know, naked you came into being a counselor, naked shall you return. By the time it was through, he said he bought a car in all his years as a counselor. He gave that car to a lawyer who had money to lend him money. He never had money to pay back. What did he do with the last money he had? He gave to the pastor. And the pastor prayed powerfully. And he will fast, you know, they will fast on your sick. Next day you come. The man looking tired. I've been on this case since yesterday. I'm about to break through. You get 2 more hours. Don't worry. I feel myself getting closer. Buddhism. You know what happened? The day of the election, this guy won thoroughly. Won. Landslide. Ever go, you're looking at it. Just watch. after he won, just before they declared the result, his governor, let me not tell you the state, I will give you the name of the governor, was looking for a second term. So he went to talk to one of the power brokers, you know, the powerful principalities in the state. And that one said, I guarantee you my support. You shall be returned again for your second term in office. Thank you. However, you will do me one favor. What is it? I want my boy to be the chairman of that local government. Is it? You know, God said, do what you want to do. This election, you're not going to win. They counted the votes. He won. Then the governor, just, you know the way we do in Nigeria. Before the news was happening, don't do one sleight of hand like this. Election don't change. They declared the other guy winner. Virtually appointed the other guy. Ah. So his people who knew who they voted for, they all rallied and went to government house. And there he was sitting. Now, this is the interesting part. The governor was his person. Then he was sitting beside the governor when his people came to fight on his side. So the governor came out and they said everything. The governor said they didn't have time to explain, but that they should just accept the result the way it is. And he went in, and that was the end of it. And the spirit of despondency came upon the people. Each person went back to his own home. And my guy was never chairman. He said that while everybody was angry, he wasn't angry. He just knew that the hand of God was there. And God had decreed that, oh boy, do what you want to do. You are not going to be the chairman of this local government. So when the thing played out the way it played out, he raised his hand up to God like Job. The Lord give it. The Lord has commuted it in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, that's one another way how God tests you. He takes something like that away from you. Go home and go and whine and grumble. You've just lost power. Go back home, lie down, and begin to sing. God of miracle, now my papa. You know, we only think that we sing those songs when things are good going on our side. There are times that things happen, negatively appears, and you just know that it is God that's just been good again. He's always been good. He's always been God. Look, let me summarize my message. I don't want to keep up for too long. The cup and what? The baptism. Listen to me. If you really want to walk with God and be powerful for God, listen to me. You will suffer for Him. It is not only the devil that causes trouble. Let me say it to you again. God knows how to cause trouble. The only prayer I pray for you is that may God cause your trouble while you are yet young. It's easier that time. I'm telling you, it's much easier. It's much easier. But the good thing, again, let me let you know, is that God doesn't cause trouble for trouble's sake. The Bible says that when He wounds, then He heals. Do you get my point? That's how He does it. And the reason He causes trouble in your life, like I've been describing, is because that is the door to glory. Listen, Moses was so honored. Let me tell you again. People are not the same in God's presence. There are those who fast, they won't eat, give offering, do everything, pray. At the end of the day, when they finish, go, yeah. This is my, we're not that another sleep nor slumber. By now, you should be asleep. And they have prayed. You know why? With all the shouting, they don't get voice in heaven. No, truly, they don't. But there are people that are, as they begin to think, the thoughts are echoing so loud in heaven. Even if God were able to sleep, He'll wake up. Do you get my point? That's why I always quote. He looked at Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, small prayer warrior. Even if Samuel and Moses were to pray, I wouldn't hear. That is, you've read the story of Samuel and Moses. You know the kind of prayer Moses was able. Now, get my point. God determined to destroy people. There are people that God wants to destroy. And God will come to people and say, shall we hide what we are about to do from our friend? And that one begins to pray. Dear Lord, if there are 50 righteous people, you go see, ask them. They say no. Peradventure 10 is lacking. And there are only 40. You go get mercy. Why not? All right. Maybe there are 30. nothing spoil. Okay. God, don't be angry with me. So I told the talk. What did the that one, Abraham? Moses, there was nothing like that. God said, move back. I want to kill them. And Moses said, I'm not moving. There's a difference. That one, move back, I want to kill them. The guy said, I'm not moving. And simply because Moses asked, that was why when God determined another destruction, he had to tell Jeremiah, don't go and call Moses, so this time it won't work. You are getting what I'm saying? But this is the point I'm making. Why was Moses able to do that? He wasn't being presumptuous. He just acted essentially on impulse. Let me say it like this. That he knew he could talk to God. So at that moment, he just did what came to him naturally. Ah, God, how can you do that? The confidence to approach God was so strong in him. And I told you in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, it's God that builds that degree of confidence into people. How did he attain that? Was because of the kind of dangerous sacrifice. Look, I'm not talking about, you know, the way we pastors like to do it. Dip your hands in your pocket and bring out something dangerous. There is nothing dangerous that can enter your pocket. Forget that one. What's in your pocket that's dangerous? It's 99 naira. Naira they bite. You know, pastors, sometimes they make me laugh. A lot of people, boys just give them a microphone, they begin to talk. How can I be doing something dangerous every Sunday? What is it? Last Sunday, I should challenge God. This Sunday, I should do something dangerous. Next Sunday, I should blast open the heavens with my offering. They follow. What? Look, listen, my friend, this is just so. Oh, God. Sometimes I wish God should just get a kubuku and get an umpire. Go around churches and be warning some people. You talk that kind of thing again, I whip you here. What are the dangerous things that we do that move God? Is when we give up the right to ourselves. Do you get what I'm saying? When they'll say, okay, look, do this deal, legitimate deal. Now, listen to me. It's not only iniquity, you know, like we'll just steal small. No, it is right. It is just. But you say, lest you say, I made Abraham rich. I'm not doing. Nothing wrong with it, though. Like a friend of mine was telling me yesterday night, went for a program. We were chatting, you know, brother. He said that there's a state around here. I won't tell you the state. What they do is, they, anything they want to do, they pay you cash. They can pay you 100 million naira in cash. Government too. One state around here. I won't turn to the left or the right so that you won't know which state. But it's not this one. It's not the one we are in. That one I can say for sure. It's not this one. They will pay. So he gave them a beautiful proposal. I wanted to help them. They approved everything. And finally said, alright, here's your money. It is ready. We are paying you in cash. And they said, the idea is that you will sign for, let's assume, 20 million. But we'll deliver 15 to you. Now, listen. You can reason it different ways. That could be extortion. But the point was that this brother looked at it and said, if I do that, I'm about to come and train you people on how to run government well. I won't be able to talk. Carry your money. Just carry in car key. Enter in car. That was the end of the deal. I'm not doing. That is, I'm not doing. You know his reason when we're talking? He said, because these people want to shut my mouth. So that what I'm supposed to say to them, I won't be able to say it. He said, I'm not doing. Let me tell you, we can pray all you want. God, this corruption must end. God said, you want to be able to pray against corruption? Let me show you. And you know what? He'll make sure you are broke that day. This is breakthrough. Just sign for 5 million, but we'll deliver to you 3.5. This job, you have no say if you complete that for 2.5. And like I said, in that state somewhere around here, the cash is on the table. You can come and complain, Pastor, this is iniquity. They are extorting me. And I will say, well, don't mind them. Bible says that if they take your coat, give them your jacket also, Abi. Should they ask for 1.5? Give them 3 million. Tell them you're a man of God. You manage the two. I can preach that to you. Yourself, you say, yeah, Pastor, thank you very much. The man of God has helped us here. You'll be thinking. But God is saying that, say all the stories you want and rationalize it. But what I want you to do is look those men in the eyes and say, I will go back on the bike with which I came. But I won't take your stupid money, not based on this, your crazy arrangement. Look them in the face and say, this is what is spoiling the country and I will not participate. I was talking to your guy yesterday. He was there, your guy. He was at that program too. So I only wanted to do one deal for this. So for one state, they came and said that this is what he will bring. He said, me, bring what for what? I came with an idea to help you. So he abandoned them and went to community and did a project on his own. Listen to me, it's not easy. Amen? Amen? Don't think that, yes, praise God. We'll just do it. Listen, you will trek one extra year for that decision. Your tenancy has been extended for 3 years for that decision you make. You'll have been a landlord. And I say extended, and I don't mean the money you pay. You'll be paying rent for another 3 years. However, where men prayed all night, you will ask the Father for 1 legion of angels to scatter them when you have attained to a certain degree of power with God. That power comes by suffering. Everybody say suffering. Suffering. Listen, Christians don't like to suffer. They say, God, listen, it's a lie to tell you that God only does good things. He said, fear not, little children. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, you know what you will do? You will trek for a while. He said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. People will say, ah, look at what your mates are doing. Like, you remember my gist? I always said that my mates are not teaching the way of success. My mates are not teaching the word of the kingdom. My mates are not teaching school of Bible exegesis. My mates are not the one teaching the school of prayer. It is me. And I remember the way my mother said it, that they said that, but that one doesn't pay you money. I said, yes, you are right. So what shall we do? That was my answer. So what are we going to do? We will say that because it's not paying, we will not do the reason why God gave us life. Listen, I like the way Pastor used to say those days in Lagos. Pastor Kwaju. You tell you there is deliverance or a better resurrection. Both of them are legitimate, too. They are right, too. But you see, you can refuse the deliverance so that you will get what? A better resurrection. You know what resurrection means? You die first. I don't know whether you noted that. Resurrection means what? You will die first. There are places where you will literally be buried. But when you finally rise up again, you will show up to your disciples. All powers in this kingdom given unto me. Here am I sitting on the right hand of Christ Jesus in this kingdom. Whosoever I say we perish in this kingdom, we perish. Those are the times you look at a fig tree and say, you, wither. And a whole political party funded upon 250 million naira of expenditure in the last 6 months will just dissolve overnight. And they will never find out who did it. That's the fact. They will never find out. Because you're not there worrying with flesh and blood, writing articles in the papers. You just bought the paper and say, ah, Baba God, he has come. This agent of Satan. They have gathered. Why do the hidden rich and the people imagine a vain thing? These men have gathered again to plunder the country and make sure we don't go forward. Therefore, Lord, scatter them. I don't want to see them next week. That week, suddenly they will expose one scandal about one guy. He goes to jail. Two have funny accidents. They die. And that one runs away from the country. Before you know what's happening, the strongest political party that was just about to rise just dies as it starts. And I like the way Derek Prince said it in one of his messages. He said when there was a problem that time during the Watergate scandal, then he had been praying. God had given him a prayer. To pray for the nation concerning leadership. So when the scandal broke out, a man saw him and said, oh, Brother Prince, I want you to know that I personally hold you responsible for all the political turmoil going on right now in Washington. And the guy said, I gladly accept. Because he knew the prayer had been praying. The guy didn't join one party. He doesn't talk. At home, he just prays. And because of his prayer, God went to Washington and made the president resign from office. Please, I hope you've gotten my message on the cup and the baptism. Let's bow down our heads to pray.